The last few years have been difficult ones for Australia's casinos, largely because of three C's, controversy, COVID and China. The controversies that have plagued Crown Casino, which led to state government inquiries, mean governments might now be wary of the sector. Add the impact of COVID and the tensions between China and Australia, which have hit the big VIP spenders, and the sector's not looking promising for big growth anytime soon. Is it even possible to run a financially viable casino anymore? Well, US private equity and property giant Blackstone suggests it might. It could be offering a way forward for Crown Casino with a model that could split the company into rental and license entities. And there is also the idea of mergers running around, or of one large consolidated company running all the licenses. So what might this mean for all concerned? Business journalist and former director of the Australian Shareholders Association, Stephen Mayne, has been following this for a while. Welcome back, Stephen.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Is the financial model for casinos in Australia now broken, or is that too pessimistic a view?
No, I think it's a bit too pessimistic, but it's certainly ex-growth, I think, in using the financial jargon. So the share prices of Crown and Star have come down substantially from their highs. They've really done nothing for a decade. And the outlook is gloomy from a regulatory point of view, from a high roller, Chinese high roller point of view, from a COVID point of view. So, yeah, look, they're not going to go broke, but you're not going to see the profits soaring, and you're not going to see new big investments making their facilities even fancier once the current Brisbane facility is completed next year.
Elizabeth Knight, the respected business columnist on the Nine Papers, she had a final a paragraph yesterday. Thanks to already started enhanced regulation by various state governments, Australian casinos will experience increases to their costs, and they will find that, quotes, the cost of doing business properly and within regulatory parameters exceeds their historical cost of doing business. Now, that seemed to suggest the model is just won't be what it was.
Well, I certainly agree with that. It's not going to be booming, but it's not going to be diminished to something like, you know, the UK casino industry, which is really boutique and small, sort of small London clubs, because they just were never given lucrative licences with, you know, really addictive poker machines and unlimited tables and all the things that our casinos have got. So, I mean, Star and Crown between them were taking, before COVID, were taking about $1.4 billion a year from poker machine gamblers alone. And that was 10% of the $14 billion that Australians lose on poker machines. That's not going to change because there's no regulatory proposal to reduce the $10 maximum bet at Crown or Star or stop them from being 24-hour venues. So that will still be a lucrative core grind for them in terms of the regular business. And they've got monopolies over the table games. And Sydney and Melbourne are, you know, and Perth are some of the biggest, you know, prosperous cities. And if you've got a monopoly over all table gaming in those cities, then, you know, you're going to pick up a few hundred million, even if it's just from the locals, without having the, you know, the 700 million, which is what the Crown Melbourne high roller revenue peaked at. I think it was 2015. So you'll never get back to 700 million in one casino from the high rollers, but they will still have billions in revenue and they'll make solid profits. It just won't be the upside that we previously had.
Is that why Blackstone, which does know its onions, is so interested?
Yes, well, Blackstone is the world's largest owner of real estate. And, you know, their executive chairman, Stephen Schwarzman, he's a good mate of Donald Trump, a fellow New Yorker. He's worth $20 billion. He's a smart guy. So the fact that they're offering to buy Crown for $10 billion tells you that they see value in the business, certainly in the property. And Blackstone is expected would separate out the property from the operations, but they also own a number of operating casinos in Las Vegas. So they see value. And if you look at Crown Melbourne, I mean, it's the equivalent of two city blocks. It's twice as big as the second biggest building in Australia, which is Parliament House in Canberra. It is absolutely massive. And so there's clearly, you know, billions of dollars of property value just there, right in the middle of the world's most livable city pre-COVID. So that's the sort of value that they're seeing. And I don't think they'll be allowed to buy, because I think the state regulators will tell an aggressive Donald Trump billionaire mate to go away rather than have regulatory approval to come and run our sensitive casinos after all these scandals in recent years. But that's another question. That probably explains why the share price is trading at a 10% discount to what Blackstone is offering, because the market just does not believe that Blackstone, world's most valuable private equity firm, will be allowed to spend $10 billion taking control of our biggest and most powerful and politically sensitive casino company.
A few years ago, it bought that one of those Las Vegas casinos and successfully turned it around and sold it, I think, for about $8 billion profit this year. So, I mean, they clearly do know how to do business. I'm a little surprised to hear you so sort of emphatic about the idea that the regulator won't let it happen.
Well, I just think that you're going to have to get three state governments to approve. And, I mean, if you're really worried about responsible gaming, do you really want to give it to a foreign private equity firm, which is going to drive it really hard? I mean, the culture of private equity is ruthless. And I think that the regulators and the government are going to want the transparency that comes from being a publicly listed, you know, ASX-listed company where the profits are made public to the community. You know, it's transparent, there's a shareholders meeting. If Blackstone buys it, the casinos just disappear into some hidden fund. There's no transparency on the data. So I just cannot see that the regulators will sign off on this idea. I think that there are some assets which are too sensitive to sell to some foreign giant. And after all these sensitivities about money laundering and everything else, I can't see state regulators saying, yeah, sure, let some foreign giant have it and it'll just disappear into some fund.
Even if maybe there's a suggestion that they get more revenue. I mean, this has been sort of the core of people like you and Tim Costello's sort of activism, that, you know, that the state budgets are now sort of drip-fed on revenues from gambling, contributions to consolidated revenue. So you can't see sort of some quiet deal behind the scenes. You just think that would be too politically unpalatable.
Well, look, Victoria's debt is going to be $165 billion by the end of 2024, and the Crown at the moment is delivering about $230 million a year, and the state budget, including all federal monies and GST, is over $70 billion. So it's actually a drop in the bucket. The amount, there's no casino taxes will save our budgets scenario. It's point something. It's tiny digits on the dial. So I think that they're going to be actually more focused on having a responsible operator, a transparent operator, an operator they can control. And I think that public companies are far more, in Australia, far more controllable than I mean, no one's ever tried a giant foreign equity, private equity firm owning our biggest gambling companies. I just can't see it being allowed.
And what about a big merged single operator from all of ours? Is that possible to emerge from all of this detritus of inquiries?
Well, that certainly is more likely. I mean, if you think about it, the Star at the moment is worth $3.5 billion with a share price of $3.61, down from a peak of $6 in 2016. And Crown is valued at $7.6 billion. So put them together and you get an $11 billion giant with casinos in Queensland, Victoria, New South Wales and Perth. I can see that being approved at a CCC level, and I can see that actually potentially getting up more likely than foreign equity. But I think the logic of that would be you need a national regulator. I mean, it's pointless having all these state-based regulators controlling this great big giant casino company. The only thing that would stop that happening would be state-based parochialism, where the states actually want
the casinos. Oh, no, surely not.
Well, exactly. And the states actually want their casinos maximising their tourism visitation, their tourism revenue, which is what Crown was meant to be originally. It was all about Crown Melbourne, and then they should never have been allowed to buy Crown Perth or then build Crown Sydney in the first place. But for some reason, successive Victorian governments allowed Crown to go off and play in Macau and elsewhere, and rather than just focus on Crown Melbourne. So, again, it would take four states state governments to approve such a merger. That will not be easy, but I think it's more prospective than three state governments approving Blackstone's aggressive takeover bid for Crown.
And look, finally, Robert Gottliebson in The Australian, who's got a good sort of sense of corporate history, did sketch how, in fact, we have this amazing sort of history repeating itself, that Lloyd Williams had the big dream of Melbourne's Crown Casino, and he had to sell out to James and Kerry Packer, and now James Packer is having to sell out. He's a forced seller as well. If you were sitting in Ziggy Switkowski's shoes, who's the relatively new Crown chairman, what would you be doing next?
Well, that is actually the most interesting thing of all, is the fact that the regulators are forcing James Packer to sell down from 37% to less than 5%. So he will want to sell out for the highest price, but he's been given 3 years to do it, and Blackstone is basically trying to pitch to James Packer. So that is what is forcing the corporate action at the moment. So even if Star merges with Crown, that doesn't really solve the solution, because if it's an all shares merger, James Packer still finishes up with more than 20%, and he has to get down to 5%. So I think that ultimately James Packer will just be forced to sell on the open market to institutional ordinary investors, and that Crown and Star will go back to being regular public companies with no controlling shareholders, a majority of independent directors and regulators who are firmly in control, because there's no aggressive billionaire that they're dealing with. So the days of billionaires controlling our casinos are over, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, I'd say you'd send up a flare of excitement over that, wouldn't you?
Well, I think James is more responsible than anyone else for the stuff-ups at Crown. So I think the ultimate accountability is him not being allowed to control the licence, which is what both New South Wales and Victorian regulators have said. They've just been a bit generous and given him 3 years to get there.
Mm. Okay, Stephen, one to watch. Thank you very much indeed for that overview.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Stephen Mayne, business journalist, and I think that the regulators, thus far the comments have suggested that James Packer might have to be out in 3 years, and I think he's asked for 5 to 6 in order to sell down. So that's where that is, and we'll just see what happens to the Blackstone bid.